I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show. Special edition of the Square Ball Podcast with me, Dan. Here's Michael as well. And comedian Maisie Adam.
Hello.
Our guest for today. Welcome along. Leeds fan as well. Maisie, before we get into the show, plug whatever it is that you want to plug. Let's plug something.
Oh, okay. Right. We'll plug the tour. I'm doing City Varieties. Oh, that should have been something that I looked up before, shouldn't it?
It's your job to know this, or ours.
Okay, give us 2 secs. It's September or it's October.
The autumn.
If you're free in September or October, it's going to be perfect.
Just keep showing up until Maisie shows up.
Can you imagine? No, I'm doing City Varieties, which is mad because I used to go there like every Christmas to see the panto. 7th of October. And I think I'm going to film it.
Right.
I think I'm going to film it there. You can't go to a room like City Varieties and not film it, can you?
As anybody watching or listening will be able to tell, you're from around these parts, which is nice. So you've come up on the train today from your somewhere south, Mordor, wherever.
Look,
it is.
Look, I've moved. Yes, I moved to Brighton.
For work reasons.
The most south part.
A nice part of the world, though. But you are from Panel, which is just outside Harrogate. Is it? Do you class
you've
it as,
got a glint in your eye. What are you going to bring up about Panel?
I want to see if you relate to Panel in the same way that I do. So I'm from Bradford, and I tell people, well, you know, when you meet people on holiday, they go, where are you from?
Yeah.
I'm from Leeds.
Right, yeah, because no one's going to
say... Do you say Harrogate and pretend you're posh, or say Leeds?
No. I'd say just outside. I always go just outside Leeds. Right. And then they'll go, oh, right, yeah, where? And you know immediately that unless you say, I live in the Trinity Centre, they've got no idea. Yeah. No, I've never said Panel to someone on holiday. That would blow my mind if I met someone else from Panel on holiday.
Panel is just south of Harrogate, isn't it? It's a village just, and it all blends into it. And are you aware of the new tourist attraction in Panel?
I have heard the rumours that Panel has become something of a coffee hotspot.
Yeah, it's got a new drive-through Costa Coffee, hasn't it? Which is is that the most exciting thing to happen to Panel in a number of years?
I think, that's got to be up there since... I don't think we've had anything like new... Oh, maybe the wind turbine at the local school. That was a big day.
Yeah.
That was a big day when we got a wind turbine. Mm. And now, I mean, just go show. Dream big. Dream big. Once a decade, you get something put into your local area.
What was the split of football fans growing up there? Like, I mean, it was, Scum fans, Leeds fans?
Oh, no. Like, I think everybody I know was a Leeds fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Weirdly, there was 2 Liverpool fans. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to name them, but then I feel like they don't deserve it. But I think that was like one of those weird, oh, my dad is from there kind of thing. But everybody else, Leeds United. I don't think you can go through Panel in red, I don't think.
See, I was in Wakefield. There were loads of Scum
fans. I think the Costa Coffee is the only red thing in Panel.
Yeah, but same though. Back in Bradford, you had loads of Man United, loads of Liverpool. But then, you know, growing up through the 80s, Leeds were rubbish and we were out of the top division. So, I mean, so you're just a timestamp it. What was your era kind of growing up then around Leeds? Because you're a Leeds fan.
Yeah, I remember absolutely. I mean, I've spoken about him a fair bit, but I remember absolutely idolising Alan Smith. And speaking of that rivalry, like I've said it before, I'll say it again. First man to break my heart, Alan Smith. When he went... I mean, I know, we know now what his reasons were. We know he actually did it in quite a chivalrous move. But no, him going to there, I can't even say it in this room. I'm just surrounded by so much Leeds memorabilia. I feel like if I say the word, I'll get cursed. But yeah, Alan Smith, Harry Kewell, that kind of sort of era. And I can still remember...
All the bad boys.
All the bad boys, I know. And I can still remember, I think I was in like year 4 when we got relegated. And we had to do this thing where we came into school on a Monday morning and like in circle time, you all had to go around and say what the best part of your weekend was and the worst part of your weekend was. And every kid was like, the worst part of my weekend was Leeds got relegated. And then you just passed the little, we had this like little skunk that you could only talk when you held the skunk. It was very weird.
The classic skunk.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think for people who are from abroad might not realise, we do that at every school.
Yeah.
There's a school
every school
skunk.
In Yorkshire.
Yeah, you pass it round. And
pass the skunk, a classic Monday morning activity.
And that's when you're allowed to, you don't have to put your hand up anyway. It's the famous skunk. apart from those two Liverpool kids, obviously, were probably
who were
chuckling.
Just delighted. Yeah, chanting Gerrard.
It was sad, wasn't it? I'm trying to think. So I would have been about 24-ish when we went down. No, 25, 26. So I saw it through adult eyes. How old were you then at that point?
I was about 20. Right. I know the pattern was that when I applied to go to university, I went to York because I didn't want to miss, because we were Champions League.
Yeah.
Didn't want to miss all that. By the time I left, we were in the Championship.
Right.
And it was like, fucking hell, this hasn't panned out quite how I had hoped.
I love that. You based your university options around Leeds's.
I did as well.
Champions League fixtures.
Well, Leeds seemed too close because it's like 10 minutes from Wakefield.
You didn't
want to
seem too keen.
I thought, I've got to go a bit further. And I like York. It's a nice place. So I thought, but that'll be perfect. I could sit half an hour on the train or whatever. I could still get back to all those heady Champions League evenings that are coming up.
So university for me was back end of the 90s. And I went to Northumbria, which is Newcastle Polytechnic.
Yeah.
Not the proper one. But it's just close enough. It was far enough away to be far away from home, but then close enough to get back for the football. Mm. And it helps, obviously, that the ground is basically on the motorway.
Yeah, yeah. Were you trudging back then for...
Yeah, I did. I mean, I ended up getting a job at the Sainsbury's in Whitley Bay, which was not close to where we were. So I used to drive out. So Friday night, and the only two shifts I was able to do that would enable me to watch the football was pushing the trolleys around the car park late on a Friday night for closing up to 10 o'clock.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then, so I'd put all the trolleys away and then I'd come back in the morning and I did like, I think it was 7 till 11 on the trolleys. So all the trolleys I just put back the night before.
Trolleys is the worst job as well.
It is. Everyone's then getting them out again.
Is it? I always used to think that looked quite a good job.
I think that's the people who are not fit to face the public.
not necessarily. No, if you...
Like, I would say that's when they've given you a go in the store and they've been like...
Get him on trolleys.
He can do trolleys.
But the advantage to trolleys, because it started from... I got a loan move to Whitley Bay from Bradford Sainsbury's because I worked there when
we
were
in experience.
Yeah. Got some air miles under your belt and then you can
pitch,
apply
that
experience when you get up there. But I didn't really do trolleys much in Bradford, but it was always good because it was a big L-shaped car park. So you could go park your car at the bottom of the car park and just go sit in it. So you could do trolleys for a bit, push some back and then go sit in it.
Just go sit in the car
park. Yeah, getting paid to sit there. £4 an hour.
That's not bad, you know. That's not bad.
Yeah, so that was good fun. But yeah, I was in Newcastle and I remember I had a little crappy blue Rover Metro, which was just, I think I was forced into buying it by my dad because it was cheap to run. But I ran out of petrol twice on the same journey back to Newcastle on a Saturday night. So I used to like...
How did you run out of petrol twice on the same journey?
Well, I was a student. I didn't have much money. So I put petrol in like enough to get up and down, I thought, like 20 quid or whatever it was back then. And then just outside Elland Road, just on the M621, I broke down. I had AA membership and all that. So they towed me then onto a petrol station. So I put another 20 quid in. But then, because I was late for my Saturday night, I wanted to get back to go out on my Saturday night and then ran out of petrol. So I must put like 10 quid in or something just to get me back because it was a...
This is why you were put on trolleys.
Yeah, just basic maths.
Yeah.
And then I broke down again in County Durham and I phoned AA again, but they thought it was the same call out as the one earlier. So they left me until 2 a.m.
I'd have left you permanently.
I probably deserved that.
I'd have cancelled your membership.
I should still be there now.
You should still be on trolleys.
Yeah. You've got a way off peace there.
When I lived in Panel growing up, my friend Craig, who listens to this, he big Leeds fan. He had what I still think is probably the best job when we were growing up. Like most of us worked like in retail, or we were waiters, waitresses. He worked at the golf club, and his job was to drive that little buggy at the end of the day and collect all the balls. You know, in that thing that collects it, because it goes around
the
combine harvester.
Thing.
Yeah, and he'd go around that. But all the like senior staff had left, so he was just trusted with the buggy. And I don't think he'll mind me telling this, but me and my other mate used to come with him and we'd attach... Do you remember them sledges that are just like a big disc that you sit in? Mm. We'd attach that to the back with a rope and then Craig would go round Panel Golf Club and drive so quick that we'd be sat on the thing at the back and whiz right round. It was the best job. I'm still jealous to this day that he got that as a job.
And if it had been snowing as well, it would have been perfect, wouldn't it?
Oh, when it used to be wet weather, and we'd be ringing Craig, going, Craig, I suppose you're working tonight, aren't you? It's perfect conditions for a bit of sledging on the golf course.
So where did you work in retail then? What was that?
God, I worked at Fat Face.
Right,
I worked at Fat Face in Harrogate. So serving a lot of quite posh parents. That was sort of the vibe.
I always like to go to Harrogate now, just every now and again, just to remind myself that I'm from Bradford.
Yeah, it's quite sobering. Yeah. I've found that, like, the more I come back, the more I realise how posh it is there. Like, I quite enjoy coming back to Leeds, but, like, going back to Harrogate, I feel a little bit like, it's just such, it's like a little resort, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I feel quite, it's not real.
Yeah, you can understand why, like, the footballers and managers, like George Graham had an apartment there, didn't he? And I think David O'Leary lives in the area, and a lot of the players.
I know a lot of the players now live there, don't they, as well, yeah.
So they can pretend they're in London.
Yeah. I don't think I'll get, like, cancelled by the Harrogate community, but I don't miss it.
They're not into cancelling. They're not furious in Harrogate.
I don't think the idea of cancelling has hit Harrogate yet. I think maybe in 2040.
It always hits the rich last, doesn't it? So you've just got the train up now. And what was it like pulling back into Leeds? Do you always get that nice sense of
it was lovely
because
obviously you come in right past Elland Road, don't you? It was like, yeah, really, really lovely. In fact, the last time I was up here, because I got COVID for Christmas, I didn't get to come up here for Christmas. Last time I came up was for the Leeds Wolves game where Rodrigo got that, was it 94th minute equaliser?
Yeah, it was a penalty, wasn't it?
The penalty, yeah. So it's really lovely coming back up. And I, like, yeah, as I say, it kind of feels more like home when you come back to Leeds rather than sort of venturing.
So who have you latched onto now then as someone you like, if it was Smith growing up?
From the current Leeds squad. I mean, obviously KP is a legend, isn't he? But I loved Alioski last season. I just loved how mad he was. Mm. I just loved his sort of, just such a weird dude, wasn't he? I feel like he really perfectly fit under like a Bielsa management style because they were just such a weird. Can you imagine going for dinner with Alioski and Bielsa? I think it would just be really odd.
Because he's a weirdo, isn't he?
But I don't think either of them would follow conventional rules of conversation.
No. I mean, like, Alioski is like a polyglot, isn't he? He speaks loads of different languages. He's very, very intelligent man.
Yeah.
Just batshit mental.
Yeah, really, really odd. But I really like it with this season. And I think particularly, I was devastated to see Bielsa go. Don't get me wrong. I was absolutely devastated. I thought it was a bit premature. But I think someone who's massively improved under him is Rodrigo. Mm. I think he's like a player transfer. I think you can see he's sort of fallen back.
You mean
under
Jesse Marsh?
Yeah. I think under new management, he's found himself again.
You can find yourself being angry at him though for that, can't you? Yeah. Like, why weren't you doing that before?
Yeah, of course.
It's like if you split up with somebody and suddenly you decide to start going to the gym.
Yeah.
Which you have to do. If
suddenly
single.
They've got really fit. Yeah.
I'm back on the market now.
Nothing focuses the mind, does it? Like that?
No, I've seen some rumours about Cock going and I don't know how I feel about that because I feel like he's been quite sort of, I feel like he's been overshadowed by sort of the likes of like Llorente, but I'd be sad to see him go.
Did you see that interview that Cock did for German TV? It had English subtitles on it. It was doing the rounds in the last week or two. And he strikes you as just like a nice young man, a nice thoughtful chap.
Yeah.
Who's having a nice time. Almost like an exchange student.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got that vibe about him. Like, oh,
yeah.
There's a food in England. It is okay.
Yeah. And when he goes back, your parents would be like, he was an asset to his school. He was really lovely. We'll send his parents a letter to say what a lovely time he had.
And he's living in a very nice, it's a penthouse apartment just over by, which bridge is it? Crown Point Bridge, I think it might be, over that way.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw his, he posted something on Instagram and I was like, that's a flashy flat, that.
Yeah, he's paying a bit of rent.
Handsome too.
Yeah, he is, annoyingly so.
Mm. Yeah.
Get rid.
Do you guys need a minute? I think also, I've just obviously remembered, but like to see Joffy finally get the minutes on the pitch that he, I think that was kind of my one frustration, I think a lot with most Leeds fans, is that we didn't want Bielsa to go, but he wasn't changing the tack. He wasn't changing the squad. He wasn't giving people a chance that I think had earned it. And so it was quite frustrating to see Joe not get their minute. And then now he's just flourished, hasn't he? And I think if we see him...
Do you feel guilty, though, for enjoying the fact that he's flourishing? Like you were just sort of saying that. I feel guilty now for enjoying the things afterwards that maybe Bielsa didn't quite get right. Because nobody's perfect, but he's as near as anybody has been, I think.
Yeah. You're right. It's like you've had a really painful breakup, but now you're slowly realising that some things are very much better now that you've gone. And you're like, but it still felt painful and I don't want it to feel like it was the right choice. I still want to feel like it was the wrong choice. But I like Marsh. Do you guys?
Yeah. He's I think the problem is because Bielsa is so...
Can I just say, if I said to my parents, do you like my partner? And they said the yeah in that way, I'd be like, uh-oh.
Well, because I do like him, but I don't feel like I really know him yet. Whereas I feel like because Bielsa has no other way to be than himself. And apparently behind the scenes, really bloody hard work to work with. But the side that we saw as fans, because he puts so much like investment in what fans get out of it, it's impossible not to just completely love him and love his ideas, because we saw all the best of it.
He was on such a pedestal, wasn't he?
Exactly.
He was. Yeah.
He was mysterious as well, though. Yeah. Marsh is very
He had that like enigma of you didn't, you never really knew.
Yeah.
Whereas you felt like you knew a version of him, but not the real him.
And
yeah.
you only got the little press conference bits as well, because he never did interviews either, whereas Marsh does like one every day, it seems, with people. So you're kind of like, ah. And there were, and you could instantly go to YouTube and find like a dozen interviews he'd done within the past year as, on there as well, which is good in a way, because you got to know him. And absolutely nothing bad in it either, I have to say. All the stuff I've watched, you're always like, he seems nice. Yeah. He seems like a nice guy. But you're like, just be a bit more, a bit more moody and miserable.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love what Marsh has to, like, and the way he says it. I think if he did a little, 10-minute podcast every morning telling you how to go about your day, we'd all be so much more productive. You know what I mean? He speaks in like inspirational quotes, doesn't he?
It's like he's living a TED Talk.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm quite here for it.
There's a chance he'd call me a young man as well.
Yeah, which feel good,
yeah,
which I'd like.
Yeah.
So I'm closer in age to him, but I'd still hang on for that.
Yeah, he'd be like,
young man. Okay, you say it.
Go on, call me a fine young man. Go on.
But yeah, I feel like we got to know. I mean, like, you know, when we did the show afterwards, the tribute show, Propaganda, where we got people to leave like WhatsApp voice messages.
Yeah.
And we compiled it into a show. I think that gave me such a window into what he was like, because you learned about, I don't know, just the little bits like pottering around in Wetherby and going to church and just doing really kind things for people.
Yeah,
like, you know, somebody went to the effort to drop something off for him, so he would reciprocate by ringing him up and saying good luck and stuff. But it was always with the caveat of don't put this on social media, don't say anything. Which so he was aware, I think, of his own position.
And very much the opposite of the majority of the world that you see in football. Like, most, admittedly, nice things, but like, I see Liverpool do things, like Jurgen Klopp will do a nice thing, but then it'll be all filmed.
It's everywhere.
And it'll have Nivea branding on it.
Oh,
and you sort of think,
God,
it's an advert, really.
Yeah, well, it's this, we said that, I think the parallel I drew was when you see people on Instagram filming themselves doing nice things for homeless people.
Oh my God, it's the worst. Do you remember there was that, it got axed because so many people kicked off about it, but like, there was going to be basically a reality show where Jameela Jamil was going to be a judge, and there was some other famous people that were also going to be judges. And it was basically like, it was like X Factor, but instead of people who can sing, it was like humanitarians. So it's who can do the best deeds as often as possible. Yeah, and it was like, you shouldn't be doing good deeds to win a competition of the best do-gooder, which I feel like if any manager was going to enter, Klopp would be straight in there, wouldn't he? Whereas, you're right. Like they said in the Norwich game as well, I think it was the Norwich game, they came on the commentary and said that like with Joffe, Bielsa had rung the Wigan Academy to say what a lovely job he thought they'd done with it. I was like, that's a really nice thing to do.
Is that rubbing it in, though? That's like ringing the ex and be like, she's nice, isn't she?
Because
we nicked him for like £1 million, didn't we, when they were absolutely on their arse. But no, he's right, though, as well, I think. I think everyone does
ringing
say,
your
what?
Partner's ex and going, they're lovely, aren't they? They're very nice.
Thanks for being my warmer pact. You've done a stand-up job there.
Knocked some of the rough edges off for me. Lovely stuff.
Reaping the rewards, don't we?
Ah, poor Wigan. They did get screwed over, did Wigan, as well. I felt sorry for him. Not like Derby, I'm quite enjoying their demise, but I do feel sorry for Wigan.
Yeah, but we went through the same, didn't we, as well? And you would have grown up seeing all that as well when Leeds went from being the Alan Smith Champions League into bloody League One.
Like, what a demise. And genuinely really like hard to fathom as well. Like, if you're from a family where, like, my granddad was a massive Leeds fan, and then through him, my mum and her brothers, massive Leeds fans, and then me and all my cousins, it felt like it got to our generation and we fucked it. Do you know what I mean? It sort of felt like sort of succession, and
the family heirloom.
Yeah, and we weren't. But
I almost felt
some sort of weird responsibility, because my grandpa was always coming out with these like tales of the Don Revy era, you know, being like, oh, it was amazing. And you're like, oh, I guess, you know, we've got to go and watch them play in, you know, on a pitch that's sort of 90% slurry. Yeah, it was not a good time. In fact, when you talk about when you went to uni and you were still able to see Leeds, but even then, did you go to St James's Park and watch some games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, only when Leeds were there. I might have got guest tickets once and got shit-faced in corporate.
Right, yeah. You see, I went to uni in Southend, so Roots Hall was kind of...
But that doesn't seem like cheating, in the same way that if me going to Newcastle would be cheating on Leeds, because we were of a similar ilk.
But But there was a
we're at Southend.
100%. I was never sort of like, oh, I'm cheating on Leeds. But it was almost, I felt almost quite, I'd go there and think, oh God, what if we end up in this division, in this area?
Well, it's like Yeovil, isn't it? The whole
we can't
Yeovil,
turn
yeah.
up and play somewhere like this. I was looking, you know, you'd look around at this dilapidated stadium and like these fans who, you know, bless them, turn up in the cold rain to sit on like a bench with woodworm in it. And the pitch is an absolute state. And you'd be like, oh God, if Leeds continue at the in, on
we
the
did,
on
we
the
did
graph
play in League One, didn't we?
On the graph that we've been going on as I've been growing up, this is going to be what I'm going to be going with my kids to one
yeah.
day.
But we did play them, yeah. yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? We saw the tour of the shit.
I think we got a last minute winner there. I seem to remember. Yeah, I can't remember well enough.
But yeah, no, it's funny, isn't it? I think. Do you think maybe that tour of the lower leagues has made us enjoy this more? It feels to me
I
like
think so,
it feels like the purgatory of all that for so long. Like Bielsa was like the prize for prize for suffering all that shit, all the madness, all the owners.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyone who supports, you know, if you're living in Panel and you support Chelsea because when you were growing up they were good, it's hollow anyway. Yeah. You can't have enjoyed.
There's a lot of that because I went to school in Harrogate. There was a lot of Chelsea fans, United fans.
You've no right to enjoy those wins.
We have to say on this
nothing
podcast,
to do with you.
Manchester United fans.
Sorry. Yeah.
Have to give them the full title.
As soon as I said it, I was
did you realise?
I literally felt a little bit of sick come up.
Alan Smith.
Yeah. A lot like Arsenal fan. You're like, how are you? How are you here? Why are you here?
There are people who didn't go to games, though. None of the scum fans at my school ever went to a game.
What's that you said? There's a line you always used to deliver to.
I was just saying, I've been to more Man United games than you, just from going to see them against Leeds.
I've been to Old Trafford. 100%.
I've been to five Man United games. How many have you been to? None. Yeah. Pathetic.
And that's a cheap point scoring is what it's all about.
I mean, you know, you're 13. What are you going to do?
No. It is a fair point. I mean, so how did you take the news that Bielsa had gone then? And what was your relationship with him? Because it's weird. In many ways, I think this is like, he's almost defined my proper adulthood.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And he's defined this era of Leeds, hasn't he? Mm. Like, as you say, he was the prize of coming back up. So I do a podcast on the transfer window. So every summer in January, we do it. And every time we've done it, there's been whispers about either players of late, and I think it's not true. And for me, ever since around this time last year of whispers of Bielsa going, I just thought it was the same thing. I was like, it was like when people go, oh, KP to West Ham. I was like, no, it's not going to happen. And then, you know, when they just start to build a little bit more and you start to think, mm-mm.
You have that little nagging doubt, don't you?
And then like, just a few journalists that I knew. So normally it's just it's people who don't like Leeds, other fans going, yeah, he's going to go. I'm in like a comedians Facebook group for comedians talking about football. And every week there'd be like one particular guy who is a Man U fan. Always.
Not funny, I presume.
Oh, yeah, always knocking on. I just remembered I'm on camera, so I'm going to remain very, very partial. But always knocking Bielsa, like always. And I was like, what? Like, I that's just you as a Man United fan coming from. And then you start to see like journalists saying it. And then maybe because we'd had some really bad losses, didn't we? But they were to massive teams as well. Mm. But maybe after two of those big losses, I went to go and plug the tour on TalkSport. And they were all saying, like, off air, they were like, no, he's going. He's definitely going. And I was like, what's your source? Unless you tell me your source right now. And they were like, we can't, but he's going. And I was like, and I had a gig that night and I just, my head was not.
Really?
Honestly, I was doing this gig and I can remember doing it and I was saying my material, but inside in my head, I was just going, what if they're right? What if he does go? Who would we get? Who would we get? Because all the other options, they've been snapped up earlier on in the, and I was genuinely having this little like breakdown in my head, convinced that it was finally true.
It's weird how football gets in your head like that. It was the same with the promotion, and it's been a bit the same, although not quite as bad with relegation because we're not near the end of it yet.
Yeah.
But when it's the first thing you wake up on a morning, you think, oh Christ, we're nearly promoted it. And it was the same the days after sacking Bielsa. You wake up and you thought, I sacked Bielsa, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I think we'd almost made peace with the idea that it was going at the end of the season, hadn't we? Because there'd been...
Well, yeah.
It felt like it was maybe coming to a bit of a natural end, but then it's like, oh, but not like this.
No.
It deserves a better
That's a
end.
Great point, because there was, prior to that, when I was at that TalkSport thing, prior to that, everybody who was going, Bielsa's going to go. Their rationale for that was he's only signed a one-year contract. He always signs a one-year contract. That's no indication of his intent to stay or leave. That's just what he does. Mm. But I think there was definitely a bit of just fan denial going on in my head. And I still like what Marsh has done. I think it was, in hindsight, possibly even the correct choice. But I, at the time, thought it was massively premature.
So there is a conflict there, isn't there, in that we need to stay up. And if we do stay up, then you can say it. The ends justifies the means, but the means feel so rotten.
It's horrible. It's sort of such a, what's the word where it's like a horrific, like it's basically like a catch 22, how I feel about it the whole time. Like, I think, as I said, I think it was premature. Like, you know, we'd lost to the likes of like Liverpool or City, and you think, yeah, but I don't think that was Bielsa's fault. I think that was the fact that we were playing against this team of basically like European giants. And under Marsh, we've played sort of more reachable.
That was very diplomatic. Yeah, great.
Shit teams. Winners. Played some shit teams. Yeah.
I didn't want to say it, but and
in fact, there's only Norwich who've been properly shit. And the other teams have been all right.
But then I go like, but even then, under Bielsa, do you remember that time? I mean, this is recorded ahead of Watford's game, of course, this weekend, but we really struggled against Watford earlier in the season.
But they were shit as well.
Yeah.
But equally, they were shit. So, we just couldn't get going.
So was it, so am I being kind of just, am I romanticising Bielsa by going, oh, we should have just given him a bit of time. He had time with some of the more reachable teams, and it was a struggle.
If it was this season in isolation, you'd have to say it was not great.
Yeah.
But it's just it's the happy times.
Yeah. I know, and especially because you're like, we finished top 10 last season. Mm. Clearly this is just a difficult second album or them sort of jitters that you get. But I think we're all right now, I think.
I hope so. Well, we are recording on the Thursday after last night was Burnley versus Everton. And that was grim, wasn't it? And I feel upset that we had an investment in that game.
Poor Frank. Actually,
No. Can't feel any sympathy for him.
It was, it was a mad game.
The I know I'm not one to talk, but the wet weather didn't do his hair any good either.
No.
Very, very thin. Very thin.
They all clumped together.
He looked tired, didn't he, Frank? He looked tired.
He's very much on the Simon Grayson path. I think he's gonna be fully bald in a couple of years. And
there's a glint in your eye. There's glee in your voice.
Simon Grayson path is a term for hair reduction now.
But do you remember he came to Leeds and was like a fresh faced young manager, and then about by the time he left and
left looking like Danny Mills.
He was like oh fucking hell. He just had a real like tired look about him. That's gonna be Frank, but Frank, it'll bother him because he likes being on telly, doesn't he? I mean, I think he thinks quite highly of himself.
Especially as his next career move is obviously gonna be pundit as well.
It's gonna have to
when,
be.
When all this goes south.
Well, he's not gonna take like the Northampton job or something, is he? Because that's
beneath him, isn't it?
Beneath him. Yeah, he deserves better.
Would Frank be a pundit?
Oh, I think so.
Don't want to be rude again, but would people give him that job?
I think so.
I mean, Gary Neville had a failed managerial career, didn't he? He went to Valencia and basically lost every game. People still liked him.
But you don't really have to say much insightful, do you, as a pundit? If you look at some of the analysis that goes on, all the stuff that we get annoyed as fans and say, you've been really reductive there in the things that you're saying. You don't know.
Souness. What?
Yeah. Well, Souness is a perfect example. Like, you look at Ferdinand when he's doing like the Champions League stuff, or if they're on Sky, whatever. Mm. I mean, Ashley Cole just comes across as thick as shit as one of them. But
don't hold back, mate. Well, don't hold back.
But they just simplify things, and you go, no, that's not the true story. Yeah. That's not what it's like. And it's the same as the Bielsa's only on a 1-year contract. When you know that
you're like, that brings nothing to this discussion.
There's so much more depth to it. And we get annoyed at the pundits who I mean, Karen Carney being a perfect example. Look, we all got annoyed because we knew what we felt that wasn't the truth because there was so much more nuance to what had happened. Mm. And you've got no right to be that reductive. We know better, but you've got to remember as well that they're talking to a general audience of everyone and not just
neutrals. Fans. Yeah.
I've lost my train of thought then. It was something about a slagging
very impassioned
pundits.
Though. Yeah.
Just winds me up.
But you think Frank could
Frank,
be
that was it. Yeah, that was it. You're doing my job for me now. Yeah, I think that's where he'll end up. He'll end up match of the day. He'll end up in the skybox, that kind of
thing. The international feed. Yeah. You get all sorts of people on
his cousin's Jamie Redknapp, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Uncle Harry.
Yeah. He'll knows enough people. He doesn't even get slagged off the post-game interview yesterday. He was asked a really soft question. They were like, oh, that wasn't very good, was it? But was it...
Were problems going on here
before? Was it because of stuff that happened before you came? And he was like, well, yeah.
Oh, God.
You're like, I don't know. I felt like Bielsa used to get... He would have got absolutely roasted for that. People would have been like saying, oh, you can't go on this. You need to pull the plug on it and stuff. But whereas with Frank, they're like, oh, well. I know he's got like one win, which was against us.
Isn't it funny to think, though, that we could have nearly almost signed Frank Lampard and the world could be viewing it through a very different lens.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
We came close. Just a few million short, I think, of whatever the asking price was, but it was close, wasn't it?
We got Seth Johnson.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You want to dig Maisie out, don't you, for some musical choices?
No, no, not the musical choices. I listened to Life Goals that you did.
Oh, no.
Which is a podcast, by the way, if you want to.
Podcast. The basic principle is like...
I've forgotten what I've picked.
A goal and music.
We've got it, don't worry.
Oh, like no.
Favourite kind of goals that define... You are as
look,
that you remember
at you,
well.
Licking
or
your lips with anticipation of what you're about to.
It was just odd choices.
What?
No, I think there's some good choices on here as
I
well.
I can't remember.
I was confused by it because it was like, it's obviously.
What I will say is, we recorded this in a lockdown, okay? This life goals thing. So maybe I had a bit of.
Things were challenging.
Yeah, maybe I had long COVID. You've not thought about that, have you?
Right.
Possibly. Yeah.
So Beckham versus Greece, number one. Can you remember what you chose?
That's no. Fair enough.
When did that happen? 2002.
Yeah, it was to qualify us to the 2002 World Cup.
I'm racking my brains.
How was that? It was good.
What did I pick?
It was when, you know, scored that last minute free kick against Greece. Yeah.
Did you cheer him?
I did.
Were you cheering David Beckham in Old Trafford?
I had a lead shot. Because it was obviously I was still a Liverpool fan who'd done the same childish thing.
Good boy.
Just gone like, I'm going to wear this because I can. No, that was fine. But then the kind of O'Leary, Alan Smith era, you picked three goals that I had to look up. Like, of all the kind of iconic moments of that, like, not like you got Champions League or
you've got
Viduca
a problem with
4-3.
The goals that I picked, not the songs.
I mean, the songs are so solid crew are like, yeah.
But I thought you were
going to
pick a bone with my songs.
No, I was just intrigued as to those games because they're all like Alan Smith. I had to look them up because I was like, I don't remember any of these. I thought you got like Don Matteo, San Siro, or Viduca in the 4-3, or.
Oh, no,
right, so
no,
well,
no,
let's,
no,
let's
no.
go to the start list then. Beckham versus Greece, 2002. You picked.
What was the song?
I can't remember what songs I picked. I can't remember.
Angel by Shaggy.
Oh, I did. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I now understand the licking of the lips in anticipation to bring
so
this
what,
up.
Talk us through. I mean, the goals, it was a fairly, you know. Yeah,
that was a
memorable moment, wasn't
Why
it?
Why did yeah, I but, pick that?
It was of that
That's
around that
such
time,
a rogue
wasn't it?
Choice. That's such a rogue choice.
A Shaggy fan growing up then?
A big Shaggy fan. Yeah, loved all his work.
What else did you like that he did?
How old were you at this stage?
His
well?
Third album was probably his best. How old was I when Shaggy Angel came out?
Well, back in 2002.
2008.
It actually came out in June 2001, did Angel?
Right, 7-year-old Maze, living it large to Shaggy.
To Shaggy.
Got a problem with that?
No.
7-year-old in no. panel, living it large to Shaggy? What's not... What's funny about that?
Big fan. I'm just looking down his list of songs. Love Me, Love Me. It Wasn't Me was just before that, obviously, in the March, which was the obvious choice.
It Wasn't Me, yeah. Angel. Did he do Mr. Bombastic?
Yes.
Was that
yeah,
Shaggy?
That was 1995.
That was, early,
1995, so he would have been one.
Yeah. It's...
It Wasn't Me. That was...
I don't think I was...
This is mental.
That was probably not suitable for an 8-year-old.
I mean, what?
It wasn't me. It Wasn't Me.
Yeah.
Banging on the bathroom floor and all that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Shaggy, El Carolina came out before you were born. So.
Oh, Carolina. That's a good
one. I remember that. I remember watching it on MTV.
What's Carolina?
Oh, Carolina.
Oh, that, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's pre me.
Pre-birth.
Pre-birth.
Yeah. What else? So the Smith.
Maybe my mum played me Shaggy when I was in the womb, and right. that's why I've got such an affinity with it. You know how some mums like try and. Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm asking you to. Well, no, so did you guys do?
Well, I grew up listening to like Springsteen and stuff like that. The first concert I went to was when Springsteen played at, Sheffield United? Bramall Lane, yeah.
Not you saw Bruce Springsteen at Bramall Lane?
I was about eight, yeah.
Nice.
Something like that, yeah. Seven is a good introduction to live music, I felt, yeah.
I can't imagine hearing Born in the USA live at Bramall Lane.
No, when I look back on it, yeah, it's...
In the steel city.
In a decaying...
The industrial wasteland.
Yeah.
The steel city of
actually,
Sheffield.
In many ways, it's perfect for Springsteen's music, isn't it? Because it's all kind of that Americana decaying sort
yeah,
of...
Yeah, old failed auto industry and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Alan Smith against...
I got bleak, quick.
Against... Well, Alan Smith against Middlesbrough is your next one.
What are you asking about? What song I chose?
No, just the goal. I just was like,
it's the final game of the 2001-2 season. So is that the Champions League year?
Yeah, yeah. So we finished when we failed to qualify right. for the Champions League again.
You went for the seminal hit, 21 seconds to go by So Solid Crew.
Yep,
belter. Fair enough.
And then, big fan of that. Well, I want to know about the music. I was a DJ in a former life.
Did
song.
You know every verse in that song is 21 seconds long?
I did know that. Yeah, each rapper gets 21 seconds, yeah. don't they? Yeah, yeah, I knew that.
I mean, they do say it in the song, yeah. but. It blew my mind the first time I actually timed it on my iPod Nano.
Yeah. How many members of So Solid Crew do you know the name
of? Oh, so you've got Harvey.
Let me hang on a minute. I'm Wikipedia-ing it.
Romeo.
Fucking hell, there's loads of them.
How many members are there in? Don't say there's not 21, is there? How many?
No.
How many
so, well, how many's Wikipedia, which we obviously know is very reliable.
Is there more or less people in So Solid Crew than in a starting 11?
There were 19 initial members, but it rose to 30.
30?
Yeah.
That's like Blazing Squad.
Mm.
It's got the Wikipedia has got a thing called confirmed members, as if there were some, as if there are some that were, have claimed
like
to be
they're
in
the
it.
Mafia.
This is
confirmed
a ring of
members.
Silence around it. So who can you remember then? Because there are some 30. Genuinely
right. Romeo, Harvey.
Yeah.
What was the lady called?
Lisa Mafia.
Lisa Mafia. That's where that's. You see, that was a Freudian slip. Mafia.
Mm.
I think that's the only three I've got.
You got Asher D, who was famous. Oxide and Neutrino.
Yeah, most of these out of Wikipedia pages of their own, do they?
Oh, really? That's bleak.
Cal Morgan, who sounds more like a Sheffield United centre-back than than someone from So Solid Crew.
And Harvey as well.
I got Harvey.
Yeah, you got Harvey.
Yeah. Went out with Alicia Dixon, didn't I?
So what was it about that song that you liked?
I think I cannot remember at all, but I think I was quite into So Solid Crew. Again, maybe not as much as I was Shaggy.
Yeah. What about Britney and Madonna then? That's the next one we've got.
Is that Me Against the Music?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, loved that. I loved Madonna. When I got I asked for an iPod for Christmas when I was in year seven, and I didn't get one. I got an MP3 player instead. I was absolutely fuming.
Those bastards.
Absolutely fuming. All of my mates had the like iPod classic, you know, the one that's sort of about the size of an iPhone.
With
now.
The circle on the front of it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd asked for it, and my mum had done that typical thing of like, it's just like the one that the lady said in the shop that this was just like it. I was like, it's not, is it? Because it looks like a USB stick. And then
oh, it was one of those ones.
It looked like a pager. It was like that thin.
Was it a Zune or something? Microsoft Zune was like the equivalent.
It was awful,
yeah.
And it had like
you ungrateful child.
I know, I'm really ungrateful.
It's those spoiled harrogate bastards.
Back in my day, we had one record in the house.
Yeah.
And it was something like
I had tapes.
2 gigabytes on an iPod meant something like 1,000 songs, right? Which I just thought was amazing. And my mum got me this MP3 player. She was like, the lady in the shop said you can have 7 albums on there. 7. And so I had to really, really pick. And the only one I'd managed to put on.
Obviously, you got your first 3 Shaggy ones on there.
I've got all my Shaggy repertoire on there. But I had Madonna's Hung Up album on there. And then I couldn't work out how to put any more. I couldn't rip and burn.
Mm.
I couldn't work out how to do it. I'd done it once.
There'll be youngsters listening now going, rip and burn what?
Rip and burn and a CD. And my mum had helped me put Madonna on. And then we'd both given up. I think we'd had an argument in trying to rip and burn. And it got very tense. She called me an ungrateful kid and all this. Mm. So for a good, I'd say 2-3 months on my walk to school, all I listened to was the Madonna album.
Fair enough. But what was it about Robbie Keane against Man City? Which, I mean, I don't even know what year that is.
It was a fairly nondescript game again. I think it was just one of the goals in a 4-0 win.
Right.
Wait, what year was it again?
Oh, you tell us. It's your choice.
It's your choice. It's one of your favourite goals.
Come on. Tell me again.
I've just
Robbie Keane?
Yeah, Robbie Keane scoring against Man City.
I'm sure that was the one where he went over his head. I'm sure. Have you got it there?
The ball's played through to him, isn't it? I think, and he scores. I remember watching it yesterday. I've not linked it on the sheet because I'm not very professional.
Thanks. At least you're honest.
Wow. Wow.
Then we've got Kewell versus West Ham. Eminem 8 Mile.
Do you want the lowdown on Kewell versus West Ham or 8 Mile?
We're going to go through both of all of them.
Or a montage of them all.
Just going to open the goal.
They've thrown you, haven't they?
I'm just fascinated, like, in the same way that Michael is. Like, some of them are slightly obscure songs, and they're all really obscure.
Goals. They're all like. So that Kewell versus West Ham one, I can remember being sat watching it
because it's the all blue Nike kit. I'm just watching. Yeah,
yeah. I can remember being sat watching that with my granddad.
Right footed volley, by the way, it's very good. Yeah.
No, it's the one that comes across him, isn't it? And he, like,
so this is right. So this
he
is,
gets a right foot on it, like a proper.
Mm.
So this is a 4-3 game at West Ham on 10th of November 2002. So it was entertaining. Yes, okay, fine.
You happy?
Strange one to pick.
You happy with it?
Delighted.
Why are they so strange to pick? I've gone here with not necessarily. I've gone sentimental. I've not gone technically Hall of Fame prowess sort of goals. I've gone with ones that give me a nice memory. And I think upon reflection, most of these memories are to do with the soundtrack. I think I have more memories of 8 Mile than these games. But that's a good goal, that Kewell one.
It is a very good one.
That's a good goal.
Can you relate to Eminem, 8 Mile, be on stage with the mic?
I think growing up in panel, anyone can relate to Eminem. I think that's
the mean
that's
streets,
definitely
the mean streets
the Detroit.
Of panel.
That's the Detroit of...
of Harrogate. All right, next one.
You've got to have a sickener in there. Yeah, it's one of the rules. The Derby playoff defeat. Yeah.
Derby playoff defeat.
Fair enough. I can't remember which of the goals it was.
I mean, this
one of them.
The whole thing just makes me feel physically ill.
Mm. Yeah, Wiley, Boasty. This is featuring Steph London and Sean Paul.
Sean Paul.
Idris Elba.
Yeah, in a weird one. Yeah. He raps about DJing Harry and Meghan's wedding, which I think is an odd subject to rap about.
Mm.
If you're trying to break into the rap game as an actor and get yourself a bit of street cred, I think rapping about DJing the royal family wedding is...
I had no idea I'd done that.
Well, that's because you've not heard Boasty by Wiley.
I heard enough of it to know what it was.
Not your bag?
Not for me. It's not for me.
Not for you.
No.
Is it shouty, Michael?
You definitely describe certain music as shouty.
You can hear reached that age.
It's too shouty.
You can hear it's Idris Elba, which put me off a bit. You can tell it's his voice.
Because I like Idris Elba from being Stringer Bell. And then obviously he's done, what's the one in London?
Luther.
Yeah.
That's, is that why you don't like it? Because you just hear Luther?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just Luther to a beat.
I find it distracting to hear him doing it. I'm like, don't do that. Go do some acting instead.
Yeah.
I don't like people who
if you know him as Luther, to then hear, like, imagine hearing Ted Hastings from Line of Duty bring a rap album out. You're just only going to hear Ted Hastings.
Yeah.
Although I did like you, I knew him first as Stringer Bell in The Wire, so I thought he was American for about the first 6 years of seeing him. And I was like, oh, from London. Fair enough.
Have I watched The Wire?
No.
Never watched The Wire.
Oh, it's good.
I mean, I think we're two Wire evangelists, and they're a boring set of people. A Wire evangelist, but it is absolutely amazing. I think that is one of the best bits of telly.
Does it stand the test of time? Like, am I going to be watching this now and be like?
I watched it all again about 5 years ago, and it was still good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like sort of Shakespearean in its depth and its ambition, isn't it? It's like a novel. It's like a novel. I think it's like it's written.
How big a commitment are we talking?
60 episodes.
60
of 1 hour each. So,
yeah, five series, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good, that's going to have to take a back seat, I'm afraid.
It'll fly by.
60 episodes. I've got things to do. I've got places to be.
You've got...
got songs to pick.
I was going to say, you've got... no. Who else is on here? The Rasputin remix to listen to, haven't you?
Listen, that's a banger. That is a banger. Too shouty?
No, I mean...
Not too shouty.
That's fun. That falls into the wheelhouse of fun, I think.
Yeah.
And that's for the Neil Mope late equaliser versus Palace. So is this presumably you when you're in Brighton going to football locally?
Yeah. I really enjoy watching Brighton play. I live very close to the Amex.
I think you're the only person in Brighton who does at the minute.
So I enjoy Brighton as a team. I think I like Graham Potter. I think they must be the most frustrating team to be a fan of. I do not envy any Brighton fans at all. Neil Mope's inability to finish is sometimes astounding.
It helped us in the game down there this season, didn't it?
It did. Yeah, should have been.
Which is why I kind of felt it necessary to pick a rare occasion for him of finding the net. But as I said, we're recording this where I think their last game, it was their last game, wasn't it? And he got a penalty. And not just like hit the woodwork or...
That was the Norwich game.
Goalie got a hand to it. Yeah, against Norwich.
Yeah.
He fully David Beckham spooned it.
Mm.
Went to the car park.
What's the Palace Brighton beef like down there? Because
oh, it's feisty.
Because we sort of laugh about
we don't,
it.
We're, get
like,
it, do we?
We're like, what are they? What are they doing? It's like the two teams without rivals, so they've decided to kick off something.
100%. I think it is that.
Is it the A23 derby?
They call it the
M23,
I think.
I'll look, I've got
a map
here.
I think it's the M23. I don't drive.
The Gatwick Airport.
The Gatwick Express. Yeah. The derby. Yeah, it's a weird one. So I didn't know it was that much of a rivalry. And then, as I said, I don't drive, so I take trains to all my gigs. And if they're playing Palace, either at home or away, because they're all taking the same train, I have to get to the station like a good 90 minutes beforehand. They get themselves so riled up to say how many miles are physically between their home grounds. Like, it's the most unjustifiable rivalry.
Mm.
But it's one of the most animated I've seen.
Yeah, it's the M23 turning into the A23, so we're all
that's
right.
A mouthful.
Yeah,
doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
They get annoyed when people say it's not a proper rivalry as well, which is
which is all the more reason.
Which is all the more reason to say it.
100%.
Like, it is a proper rivalry.
Yeah,
we're really cross with each other.
I don't understand why, like, so my boyfriend's from Portsmouth, so obviously there's like the Portsmouth Southampton thing. But like, as a Premier League team, is Southampton not more of an obvious choice as a South Coast team?
Right, so
than Crystal Palace.
Right, so it's about 46 miles away between these two stadiums.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why?
I suppose
is
Leeds
that
and Manchester are quite far apart, aren't they?
It's only 30 odd mile, though, isn't it? This is
yeah, but that's like two northern big teams. It, like we do get categorised as the North, don't we? Like anything above Villa, really. Mm. But I just think, yeah, like with Crystal Palace, your rivalry should be with the other London teams. You're London, you're Croydon. Like, I don't understand why they get Brighton involved.
I'm just looking at the distance. It's like us having a rivalry, our biggest rival being like Mansfield or something like that.
Yeah, it's really odd. Yeah.
They did beat us in the League Cup once.
Don't talk about it.
Made me upset when I was a kid.
Just to close out these other choices that you did then.
Oh my God, you are not going to let it go.
Rodrigo, header versus Newcastle in the 5-2. Nice moment.
That was a good one.
The Weekend, Blinded by the Lights. Good pop song.
Don't know why I picked that.
No.
I've got basically amnesia when it comes to this podcast.
You can tell Michael is that old man stuck inside a 30-something year old's body because he's written The Weekend, not The Weekend.
Oh no, did he?
Like an old person would. Yeah. Like your mum would, for example.
Yeah, The Weekend.
Who's this The Weekend then?
Yeah. Bless him.
And one I've never heard, I know who Maneskin are, but the song I've not heard, Ziti E Buoni, was the Sterling
won
versus
Eurovision.
Germany.
Yeah. Won Eurovision.
Mm. Yeah, right, okay. Was
they
it
got
good?
The Euro double, didn't they?
Yeah.
The summer.
And they won the sprinting at the Olympics.
Of course, the famous, the classic.
Come on, the big three.
The classic treble.
Always talk about that.
Yeah. Well, that's what you go for. You go for Eurovision, the Euros.
It was the 100 metres.
The 100 metre sprint at the Olympics.
That is the main one in the Olympics, though, because that's who can actually run the fastest.
Yeah.
I've always had that in my head. All the running.
What, you're not a fan of the 1500
metres? The men's 100 metres, that's the one who can run fastest out of everyone. So that's how you win the Olympics.
Would you do it like that swimmer? Did you remember that? The African swimmer who set off at world record pace on lap number 1 in the pool. And then by the fourth lap, he was like,
oh no, really?
You'd set off and do that in the sprint, the running. So you'd do the 1500 metres.
I wouldn't set off quickly.
How many laps was he meant to do?
Well, it's like in the pool, it was four laps, like 200 metres or whatever. But he did the first 50 metres at like world record speed. Do you not remember this?
No. Was it the Olympics just gone?
No, I think it was a couple of...
So he steams it out.
Yeah, like obviously he'd not bothered to think about pacing. He just went out there. First lap broke the world record pace and then he was basically floating along.
That is what we would all do though, isn't it? Yeah. If you got the chance to be in the Olympics, as soon as that whistle blows, you're going to go absolutely mad.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what Michael had to do. You'd be running the 1500 metres, you'd be setting off like that, tear ass in around the track and you'd be...
I'd still be barely keeping up, I think, even at the start.
Yeah.
My kids did cross country at school though, and the teacher said, don't go too fast. And they said, we just went as fast as we could from the start. Came first and second.
Yeah, that was
good
me
advice.
School. That
good advice in a race. Run as fast as you can.
I used to do cross country. I hated it, but I was just really good at it.
Mm. Yeah. Did you not try and be deliberately bad so you didn't have to do it anymore?
In the end, I did. Yeah. So in year 7, you've like just got to do it, and that was the first time I'd done it. I've never done it before in my life, and they just shouted go, and I ran on the course, and then like came back and they handed me this piece of paper that said 1. I was like, look behind me. It was a good like 2 minutes before anyone else turned up. And so then they were like, oh, right, we'll put you on the cross country team. And they made me do all these, I was up at like 5, 6 in the morning, going to Ayrville Park in Skipton to run around these blooming parks. I hated it. And I did it for a bit whilst I was like still the best because I quite enjoyed being the best at something. And then once you start getting like to a bigger level, they've got all these kids who genuinely enjoy it. And
so the moral here is only do stuff when you're good at it.
100%.
As soon as you stop being the best,
yeah,
give it up.
Get out. 100%.
My kids have unrealistic expectations of this as well, because they're like, I think I might be the fastest person in the world. You're like,
and you can't tell them they're not.
You've got to be honest.
Just let them be the fastest person until they're not the fastest person, then tell them to quit.
Anything you want to do, there's going to be loads of people better than you at it.
Yeah.
In life. And that's fine. You've got
it's to. It's a good lesson. I loved being the fastest runner at St. Aidan's Church of England School, but I did not enjoy being the seventh fastest runner in North Yorkshire.
That's still good, though.
But it is still good. Yeah. But it's not good if you're the person.
It's not good enough to warrant getting up at 5:45 in the morning, I don't think.
No.
5:45 in the morning, I want a medal.
Yeah. Just for getting up.
I want a medal. Yeah, just for getting up.
Just back onto the football side of things. And you're quite into international football, aren't you? I have a very rocky relationship with international football and I mostly don't care.
Right, okay.
I care when Calvin's there.
Yep.
But he's not been there recently because he's been poorly.
My only question is, do you get annoyed at new people in, like, new fans of football? People who've got into football through it being an international tournament, do you get angry at them? Do you get all like, no. Oh, so now you like football, do you?
No, I don't. I appreciate that it is like the people's game, isn't it? And I like that sense of occasion. Like, I remember, like, when I was working up in Newcastle, we'd finish at work and then we went to watch, like, it was England-Colombia, that game, like, in town. And it was brilliant. It was just a huge, like, a sense of almost, like, civic occasion. And when we beat them on the penalties and we all went out afterwards, a load of them didn't give a shit about football, but kind of get sucked into it. And they were all wearing the shirts and had the face paints on. I think it's great. What I get annoyed at is when people then try and engage you in football talk about it. So that they'll try and... Because we watch football all the time. We talk about it all the time. We know every minute detail about what happens at Leeds and therefore how the game's played. You know, tactically, we've learned so much tactically under Bielsa.
Mm.
But then when they try and talk to you about stuff that you know about and they can't communicate with you, I get a little bit frustrated. I try and...
a new fan?
Yeah.
Like somebody who doesn't normally enjoy football... Then starts talking about dressing
football.
Room tactics.
Yeah.
And
just little things like that.
It's normally just they're repeating something they've heard on someone say on telly.
Yes.
And you sort of go, well, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's something incredibly just like, thing is, Kane just needs confidence.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Right, so how do you think he should get that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get it. That's what Frank Lampard said, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you deal with the pressure? Just deal
I do,
with it.
I understand that. I do. I think what I get, I love international football. I do. I really love the like, sort of atmosphere of it, the spirit of it, that party thing, and then
the
I get
cocaine fueled nationalism.
And
that's
then I
what
get,
like.
Come on, I get
the
really,
fireworks in the anus.
I mean, that is a lovely aspect of it. I get really annoyed, genuinely though, when people like us who enjoy it year round get annoyed at people enjoying it for the first time, because I think that's what international tournaments are for.
Yeah.
I think that's how you get people to be as big a fans as we are. Like, I think that's often how you're introduced. I think as a kid, like, Leeds was sort of a family thing, but I think my first big memories were probably watching sort of the O2, either like the 2000 or the O2, like, international tournaments.
Yeah. Mm.
And I always use the analogy of, like, for me, it's like watching, it's like if we watched Eurovision and then when somebody enjoys it, one of us going, oh, I think it's funny how you're enjoying this, but I don't see you listening to Hungarian synth pop the rest of the year. You're like, well, that doesn't matter. Like, it's about this one big thing.
Mm.
But I do get that of, like, enjoy it and have it as a way of, like, getting into it, but don't skip several steps and start playing Football Manager.
Don't engage me in small talk about football when you're out of your depth. Like,
right,
it's like, I won't go to the, like, I've done my car MOT'd. I won't go into the garage and start talking about manifolds and, you know.
That's why I've stayed away from Shaggy when you're around, because it's just, right. You don't want to
embarrass me.
You don't want to tread on the toes of an expert. No, not you. The Shaggy expert.
No, whereas I'd be definitely able to hold my own with Shaggy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think from a social point of view, particularly because we've been indoors for like 2 years, I'm quite looking forward to the social aspect of the Qatar World Cup. I think it's an absolute clusterfuck that they've put it in the middle of winter. Mm. But I think it'll be fun, actually. And those winter afternoons and evenings.
It's weird, isn't it? Because we have always, as long as we've known it, like, we've always associated World Cup fever with summer barbecues, like bunting in the garden, having all your mates round, cold beers. And actually, we're going to be watching the World Cup with, like, a mulled wine.
Mm.
It's going to be really...
Mm. Slavery and frost.
Yeah, that's never a nice mix for an international tournament. I feel really... conflicted about this talk. Like, obviously, you want to get behind you. You want to get whipped up in that frenzy because you know how great an international tournament can be, especially when you've got a good team.
And elite player at the heart of it as well. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it is actually like typical.
He might not be elite.
Not to like center us at the heart of it all, but like it is very typical as a Leeds fan to finally be able to get behind a good England team with a Leeds player at the heart of it. And it's the most controversial World Cup to ever get behind. Like, finally, you have a reason to be like, come on, England, come on.
But ultimately,
and actually, like, ethically.
Ultimately, we'll still consume it as football fans, won't we? In the same way that where you look at Newcastle fans who've employed that switch with the Saudis.
I do get that. It's like you can't just go for the Qatar World Cup. Like, if you're going to do that, you've got to also not have F1 in Saudi Arabia. Like, it's not just football where that exists. So it's That sounds a very weak excuse to use in the pub, doesn't it? No,
but I know what you mean, though. Like, but then again, the Saudi Grand Prix is kind of one of many, and it's never pretended to be anything other than about money. Whereas I think we think in our idealistic worldview that football, it is the people's game, and we think this is about us, and this is about jumpers for goalposts and all that sort of stuff. And it's nothing. We'll be sat there watching fucking socios ads going round the boards, going, brilliant, I hope you're all getting paid in crypto. Whatever.
It's going to feel weird, and I don't think the players will be particularly. I think every player would be delighted to be playing at a World Cup, but you've got to be thinking a little. 2 weeks, isn't it? Between
I think there's actually
the
about
season?
8 days.
Yeah,
from the last Premier League game.
That's mad. So I do think there'll be a lot of players kind of going in with a little bit of a feeling of like resentment to it.
Mind you, they all like pissing off to the Middle East, don't they? In season breaks, don't they? Like,
footballers love Dubai, don't they?
Yeah.
They love Dubai.
I think just one of them went and they've got no imagination, so they all just had to go.
Yeah.
Like, where did you go? Dubai? All right.
I'll go Dubai.
Well, I went there.
Can I spend a reassuringly large amount of money on a steak?
Have you been to Dubai?
Yeah, I went on holiday. It was mid-2000s, so just when it was not quite like as it is now. And they were building that, you know, the world. So there was a lot of land reclamation going on there because it's obviously a lot of desert. And they build all these false islands, the very real islands. But they reclaim the sand, build it up, create an island, put a villa on it, sell it for, you know, 10 million quid or whatever it might be. And I remember just speaking to people there at that time saying, like Michael Owen's going to have that one and that one's going to be sounds like Robbie Fowler and that was Jamie Redknapp. And because there's a different...
Were there any non-Liverpool players though?
No, they're just ones that immediately sprang to mind. Those are the ones I took notice of, obviously.
Phil Babb, he's over there.
Yeah. You just wanted to know which ones to go and
David
egg
Burrows,
later on.
Yeah. But the point stands, it was like they were all just hoovering up these islands one at a time, and that's Rod Stewart's as well. He's not a footballer.
I was going to say, what was his time at Liverpool like? I don't like it at all.
Have you been out there? Have you done some shows there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went...
not anymore.
I went there on holiday. I did this trip with my brother in 2016 when I left uni and he was about to go to uni. We did this like, we saved up for a few years to go on this like round the world trip. We did like East to West Coast America, Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong. And then they threw in, I think because the flight has to go back via that way, they're like Dubai. And we were like, oh, okay. I mean, we're going to be staying in hostels everywhere else. So we said, let's do Dubai and it'll be lovely. We'll have stayed in hostels for like 3 months and then let's have 3 days in Dubai where you stay in a really nice hotel. And it was the worst place we went on the whole trip. Would much prefer like an 18-bed dormitory of a hostel in a humid Hong Kong building than Dubai. I find it really weird. Yeah, and then I've been back to do shows there. It's just an odd place. It's just motorways and...
Mm-hmm. Hotels.
Motorways and hotels. And then like I get that people go, oh, you go for the weather. Like, yeah, but you can't... It's so dusty. It's not like blue skies and sun. It's just... like a grey fog everywhere. Well, people post their pictures on Instagram. I'm like, you do realise the background of that photo is just fog. It's just fog with sun in them.
Without realising what I was doing when I went, we just booked it was like a thing on lastminute.com, a trip like 5 days or whatever. It wasn't that expensive. July into August.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it was cheap. So
you're fried.
Yeah, well, you know, you get to a foreign resort and they open the plane door.
Yeah.
And you feel the air make its way down the plane
and
it goes whoomph, and it did, and I was like, oh my good God. And we stepped outside because we didn't have one of the air bridges. We had to walk outside.
Back onto the plane.
Yeah. And it was like being in an oven. I'm like, oh my, this is mad. But then you get in the sea and the sea's like a warm bath, which is great. Absolutely fantastic. And it's very clean everywhere. It's nice to eat out and all the rest of it. But it's very artificial in that sense in that there's no real organic culture there unless you really, really go look for it. Like, you know, out into the desert under the stars and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of eating out and drinking out, which is nice if you like it, which I think is probably why footballers like it. But I remember we stayed in the hotel room and we knew there was a garage just over the road and we wanted to go get a drink. And it was so hot that it was like 100 yards. So we were pissing with sweat when we got to this garage. Had to buy a drink immediately to drink just to relieve the walk over there.
Yeah.
Get another one for the way back. And then the stuff that we'd gone for. So it was a triple drink situation.
Yeah, I found myself just being delighted to be in a taxi because of the aircon.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, if you go on holiday, a highlight should never be a taxi, should it?
When they awarded him that World Cup as well, it was meant to be in the summer, wasn't it? They made all promises about air-conditioned stadiums and stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. Just it was meant to be in the summer.
Yeah. I think they just said that to get it through. Because if they'd on the bid, they said, oh, you're going to have to, like, fuck around with all the football calendar, it would have been harder to push through even with all the bribes.
Yeah.
But as it was, they just
alleged bribes.
I think a lot of them were
alleged
proven.
Alleged bribes.
I mean, they awarded Russia and Qatar. They got the World Cups on the same day, didn't they?
Great bunch of lads.
It was like the absolute peak of kleptocracy of the kind of modern era. It's like, this is where it...
Russia and Qatar get it on the same day and we're there having to go, allegedly bribed. Alleged.
Yeah, I mean...
I grew up convinced that England were going to get the 2018 World Cup, thinking, well, I'll be 40 then so I can mark my 40th birthday.
Yeah. I remember when we got the Olympics, I was like, oh... because of how much infrastructure they're going to have to build for it, we'll definitely get the World Cup within a decade of that.
It's going to be the Euros, isn't it? 28 or 32? 28, I think we're going to probably get them. Russia have bid for those as well. You see that?
Yes.
Invaded Ukraine and then said, right, we're going to have the Euro. We're going to go for the Euros.
I mean, that is, like, the audacity is next level, isn't it? To think, yeah, I'll throw my hat in the ring. I think I'll be a popular choice.
Everyone come round. We're going to have a party. Fucking hell, honestly. Oh dear. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see. I hope Calvin is still with us and I hope that he is one of the star performers there. And I hope when he is, that he's already tied to a very big contract.
Yeah.
Elland Road.
The Croatia game in the Euros was nice because that's when he kind of shone. And I got to go around everyone going, I fucking told you he was good.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, oh, fucking Calvin Phillips.
Yeah, you like
the team.
Him now, do you? You like
oh,
him.
Oh shit. Oh, he's just plodder. He just passes sideways. Like, he's not. He's really good.
And so this again, though, is why I have a little bit of mixed feelings about the Bielsa era. Is he played that tight squad to such an extent that those level players, when you think we had Calvin in the Euro squad and then Bamford got his call up for, like, I think a couple of friendlies, didn't they? But at one point I was thinking, we could have two Leeds players in the, I mean, let's be honest, Bamford being in that position, he'd only get maybe subbed on.
Mm.
But you've got two players maybe going out, and then it's like, we absolutely just blasted their bodies for a season. And I do think now, like, Bamford would be lucky to get even...
When you like Jesse, I bet he's in there massaging Patrick's feet right now.
I mean, if he's not, I will.
So you like Marsh then?
I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I romanticised the idea, the sort of, in that enigma of Bielsa. Mm-hmm. But upon reflection, I think we've made the right choice. And I think...
That's a brave call, pre-Watford.
Pre-Watford.
Yeah.
Write it down. Maisie says, get it down. Get it
Maisie
down.
Maisie says,
Marsh is good. I do think it's the right choice. I do. We are playing better football.
Are we?
You don't agree?
I think the football style is worse, but it might be a bit more effective, even if it's not as much fun.
Oh, it's definitely not as much fun. It's not Bielsa ball anymore, but it's...
No, it's definitely not.
I think we're playing better.
We are playing better. We were getting dicked every single week.
That's true.
It wasn't a huge amount of fun.
No.
The other stuff was fun. It was fun before that, but just turning up and being like, oh, there's the centre-back running.
Yeah.
Running, still got the ball, and it's in our net. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That was getting quite frustrating to watch.
Do you feel like a little bit disconnected from it then when you're down in Brighton? Or do you still feel fully, like,
no,
in tune with
quite
it?
No, I feel quite in
it, yeah. Or even more so?
I wouldn't say even more so, because I do think there's just an element of when you're up here, you get a one club city, it's so much of its identity, isn't it? But there's definitely an element of, like, living in a city where everybody, Brighton as well being a one club city, everybody's a seagull. So then to sort of have that little identity within that is quite nice. And I come up here to gig, like, I've still got family up here. So if I get a gig offer, I will literally be like, great, I've got a gig, can see my family, and I'll try and come to a Leeds
game. Panel Costa.
Panel Costa.
Get a stage
put me order in for a latte already. So it's that. In fact, like, I think we were going to be, the Chelsea game was originally going to be next weekend, wasn't it? And I've got a gig next week. So I was going to try and go then, but.
Not going to be.
No. Not going to be.
Yeah, I've always struggled with the seagull as a concept, like as a mascot. Like peacock.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Seagulls, so sad. Also, seagulls are universally hated.
They're idiots.
In Brighton as well. Yeah. So like the sight of a seagull coming onto the pitch, like everybody just is pissed off. Like that's the animal that's always nicking your fish and shit. Like they are horrific and they're massive down in Brighton.
I remember.
They're a proper big, they're about the size of a peacock, some of them. You wouldn't
the old peacock template out. Yep. Yep.
I've crossed the road before because of a seagull on my way home. I thought, I don't want the trouble.
Can you eat them?
I don't want the trouble.
Probably. They'll eat them in France.
It's illegal to kill one.
Oh, is it?
I've looked it up.
What if you find a dead one?
I've looked it up.
Scraping roads.
Just thinking sometimes, I'm like, I could have it, but would I get in trouble? I thought, I can't have that.
I could make a casserole out of that.
There's loads of them, though, aren't there?
Yeah.
There's so many. And they're
not going to miss one, are they?
No, exactly.
No, they do all that thing of like, you know, they'll get some food off the thing and then giving it all that. Yakking. I hate it.
Anyone's eating a seagull?
Steve, write in if you've eaten a seagull.
We went to Lyme Regis, which is obviously over sort of towards Devon way, and doing exactly that sort of thing. And you must see this in Brighton as well. So you're out having your coffee and the cream teas or whatever, the Devon cream teas they're all having. The ladies in their fleeces on the seafront. And this big fucking seagull. And when its body, I think, was about lengthwise. It was about that big. Yeah. It was, like, it was the size of a medium peacock.
Yeah.
And it
can't believe you rinsed me going in template and then you said medium peacock.
And it swooped in and it lifted up a full ramekin of cream, like took the ramekin.
That is the most gentrified seagull picking up a ramekin.
And it flew off with a ramekin of cream in its gob. Yeah.
They've really perfected it. First time my mum came down to visit Brighton, she got a ice cream right down by the seafront and it swooped in and it was such precision. It swooped in, just took it clean out her hands, like it hardly even touched her. It had done it so many times, it knew exactly what it was doing. When you go and buy fish and chips on the seafront in Brighton, they tell you to go one street back.
Right.
They give it to you and they go, just, if you're not from round here, go one street back because the seagulls will have you.
The street with a fucking net above it.
Yeah.
Just tuck yourself
it's
in
horrible.
Under there.
Yeah. It's horrible. So why, I mean, I get why they've picked it because it's like the one animal associated with.
It's better than a pigeon though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Brighton pigeons.
The pigeons.
But, yeah, I like Brighton as a team. I think they're incredibly frustrating to watch. Good stadium. I don't like the fans.
Right.
The fans.
That'll go down well down at home then.
Yeah, I know. I'm now going to have to get a taxi back from every gig.
So you've been slating the state animal and the
I think everybody would agree with me about the animal. Just there's a certain type of Brighton fan, and I don't think every Brighton fan is like this, but there's a certain type of Brighton fan that's just... They give it proper, and their chants are really naff, and they sing. I think it's more to do, to be honest. I'm saying it now. It's more to do with that they chant all of their songs in the train station when I'm going to work.
Right. Okay.
So I immediately, I'm like, can you not?
Leeds fans notoriously.
Whereas we would never do that, would we?
Public transport.
No. You know what I mean? When Leeds fans go to a game, we're all nice and quiet. Respect. We listen to Shaggy on our own little headphones.
We're the best
on our MP3 players.
Yeah. On our MP3 players. Yeah. Seven albums it can hold. Seven albums.
Yeah, very much unbranded.
In New York City Football Club are known as the Pigeons.
Really?
Just looked it up.
New York City are known as the Pigeons.
Of all the things that New York has to offer, why is it
pigeons? Do they have pigeons in New York?
Pigeons, probably.
Probably.
I feel, what's the most common animal in New York? It's got to be a rat, isn't it?
A lot of squirrels in Central Park.
Squirrels,
rats.
Yeah, New York squirrels.
The New York rats.
good band name.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an emo, goth type of,
Yeah.
The New York rats.
Or like a Boomtown tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, well, we'll wrap it up there then on this.
We'll end it on New York
the
rats.
Avian, the avian chat. Rats. Yeah, it's been good fun. It's been good fun. Did you get to the Brighton Leeds game this season then?
No, I didn't get to go. I haven't got to go yet. There's one in my diary that I think I'm going to go to Crystal Palace.
The away game on the Monday.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go to that, but we'll see.
Just hopefully you'll make it up the A23/M23 in one piece.
Yeah. And thankfully it won't have that magnetic allure of the M23 derby. Thank goodness it's just a Leeds United game, which will be a much more civilised affair.
October the 7th.
October the 7th.
City Varieties.
Oh, right, that's my tour date, is it? Yes, thank you.
That's what you said earlier.
No, it is October the 7th. I thought you were going to bring up another song and sort of unmemorable goal. I was like, I can't do this anymore. October 7th.
That was the release date of our Carolina. Right. Maisie Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.